And welcome everyone to the Serve the Way podcast top five picks of the week. Yes, we're back with top five.
We are back. I wanted to bring it back. I love top five. It's
by popular demand.
It's by my demand, which is not that popular, but I signed up to be on the podcast originally. Besides you guys, but you guys were like, hey, we do top five pro wrestling. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm into it. Let's go.
Well, yeah, but you know, because you were on tour, the scheduling. It's been difficult. That's the only reason. But now we're back to doing top five. That's what
we have some new ideas for some good lists coming up that I don't think a lot of people are doing. And I'm down.
No, absolutely not. But yes,
we're bringing back my fifth member of the circle, the actual circle. Is that coming back or
it's there? It's ready. I will share my screen. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The host of DD is what I've been seeing here with my other host, my familia. The Fellow Four Horsemen, of course, one is on vacation. That's Money Mike. He needed a break, so he's on vacation because he's getting ready for Double or Nothing. That's the only reason why he's getting ready for that. But yes, I have the director, the man. He is back. He is finally back after a long month of touring and still producing music, kicking ass, directing you to listen to Fake Destroyed. So make sure you do and follow them because he is the one and only, the director, Chris Jenner.
Bow to your sensei.
There you go. Got a bow to him. A bow to you.
A bow to you. Don't bow.
Oh, I have to. I miss you. Oh.
We miss you.
Yes.
I miss me too.
True. True, because it is.
Such good shit.
It is good shit. That's what it is. But yes. And of course, we have Mr. 69 himself. The 69 answers, 69 reasons, and the thoughts. And he's going to give his 69 top five. He's going to give more of his reasons of why. But that is Mr. MGC, the collector of gadgets. The collector of...
Inspector Gadget.
Inspector
Gadget. Wowzers.
I should get that.
Wowzers. You are old if you know that theme song.
It's like in a claw. Claw, and he's got that cat.
Dr. Claw, man. Dr. Claw, and Penny, his niece, and I forget the dog's name.
The evil cat.
Yeah, and he's always petting the cat with the claw, man.
I will get
gadget.
And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the top five, courtesy of the director. And let me show you what we're doing top five, and that is top five NXT call-ups. That's right. We're doing from the best to the worst. So today, we have chosen to do our top five best call-ups, you know, to the main roster. And, of course, we're talking about the black and gold brand. We're talking about that brand. We're not talking about 2.0.
Got my gold light on. Got to pay respect.
Yes. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Because, you know,
and we're done.
Yep. There you go. And it just
I got to do the rest in
peace. I did do a Malachi Black, which was awesome too. God, I missed that entrance.
Oh man. Well, definitely we did not unfortunately watch 2.0. In our heads, 2.0.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's how it is.
I watched 2.0 on the Instagram reels because that's a very good compact way to do it. It's the highlights, it's what they want you to see because they don't want you to see the rest of the show.
Yes, because I agree. They do not want you to see the rest of the show. So now the wheel is back. So let's go ahead and bring the wheel to see who goes first.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Is that close to being me? Have I ever gone first before? I've gone first before, right?
You have.
Probably. Okay. I mean, the law of averages out of four, you've had to have.
Yeah.
No, you have. All right. So let me go ahead and give my top five. All right. Here we go. I got my list somewhere here. All right. My number five, ladies and gentlemen, would be Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was a great call-up. From NXT.
This is me trying to skate.
Scott, you know, doing the skank, you know, but Yes, El Generico. Which, by the way, you know, I forgot to mention on episode 1 or 2, you know that Takeshita and Hangman Page match. Excalibur was bringing up Sami Zayn.
Okay, talk about it. Tell us something. I got.
Okay. Well, Sami. Oh, but the match about what happened at Dynamite, or
No. About, I don't know what you're about to bring up, but I have a reference for that same conversation, so I want to hear what you're saying.
The Blue Thunder Bomb,
and he mentioned, oh yeah, that Takeshita's first match with Japan was against El Generico, and that's what he faced, and he told CM, you know, Excalibur told CM Punk, oh, that's your old friend El Generico. Oh, Generico. Oh, I thought he was dead. Like him saying that, I was like, oh, what a dick. But Sami, I was happy that he came in. He first came in as El Generico at NXT in the beginning, before he was actually unmasked, and they tried him on live events. People did actually recognize him until, you know, of course, you know, Triple H did, you know, sat down with him, told him, look, hey, pal, looks not Vince McMahon, Triple H. Pretty much told him, look, it's better we remove the mask, have you be a fresh new yourself, what would you like to be? The skanker, anti-politics, which he is more of that. That's just more his persona anyways. But his debut, everybody knew who he was. I went crazy when I found that he was, you know, as Sami. And now everybody, ole, 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 ole. And his call-up after winning the NXT championship, very short, you know, brief stint because he lost it to Kevin Owens. Then he went to the main roster.
Powerbomb to the hardest part of the ring. It's been confirmed that the outside of the ring is the hardest part of the ring. Yes. I remember that match. It was when Sami couldn't understand why Kevin was turning on him, right? Was that the angle? Like, they were best friends, and then Kevin just turned on him. And Sami was like, I don't know why. You're being mean to me. And then he took the title from him or something. Something like that. Yeah.
So you don't want to be typing here so everybody can know who was watching. I'll put it here very brief. So I'll put Sami Zayn. That's my number 5, Sami Zayn, of course. And I love this, you know, when the unfortunate part when he made his debut in the main roster is when he faced John Cena when it was the U.S., you know, challenge, opening challenge. And, you know, him going, yeah, like, oh, did he feel that? Oh, yeah, you ripped the shit out of that fucking rotator cuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he... Kudos to him. He wrestled with the whole match. And everybody, I was excited. I was stoked. I don't know if you guys were stoked. I was really stoked for him. But he came back and he made a name for himself. He had his WrestleMania moment with Owens, too. Of course, at WrestleMania, even though we all thought he was going to win the IC belt from the ladder match, the turnout was fucking Matt Cardona that actually won. Woo, woo, woo. And lost it 24 hours later to The Miz. Yes, this guy. And I'm going to show you who it is. Yes, this guy. Right. Where the fuck is that shit at? Let me see. You know what? I have too many videos. Oh, here you go.
Really? Really?
Yes, to that guy right there. That's right. To The Miz. So that is my number 5. My number 4, because I brought up his name. That is, of course, KO. Kevin Owens. Another one. One of the great, what I love about it is we all know him, Kevin Steen, Ring of Honor. He had the greatest feuds with El Generico. Great, you know, great feud against the Young Bucks too in Ring of Honor and with anybody else during the tag, you know, their tag team run as tag team champions. Kevin Owens, Nakamura, Ring of Honor. Oh, fantastic. And when Kevin Owens came in, and I like how his vignette, because remember his vignette, how like, oh, you know, Kevin, you know, fight Owens fight. And then everything was just amazing that what Kevin Owens did and his matches with Samoa, with Finn Balor at the time, Sami as well. It was incredible. He did a phenomenal job. And then not only that, going to the main roster again. People, why should not hate on John Cena? Cena put him over. He went to the fucking main roster, challenged Cena, Cena challenged him. I don't want your belt. And literally, pop, 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 power by him, and stomp on his U.S. title belt and held the NXT title. That was epic. That is
insane. Cena took that top rope Aruchi Gatami. I don't know what it's called, but that top rope brainbuster to the knee. Cena took like a level 5 death move. And I think that was also the debut of the backpack stunner that Cena did. I don't know, but
yes.
The fact that he took that top rope brainbuster just blew me away.
Oh, indeed. Because
I love it.
Like, I love it. I enjoy it. Oh, man. Leo, we love you, Leo. So, yes, Kevin Owens is my number 4. And you know what? And I'm glad. Look at him now where he's at to this day. His main roster call-up. Former Universal Champion. That was another incredible one as well. Him, nobody expected him to win. Everybody thought Seth Rollins was going to win after Finn Balor, you know, hurt his arm, had to relinquish a title. Then, of course, you know, did not expect Kevin Owens to have a great title run with it. Which, unfortunately, of course, it was ended by Goldberg. But I wish they could have gone with him and Jericho on Mania for it, how Jericho was saying on his podcast. That was supposed to be the plan, but unfortunately, it did not came through. Unfortunately, it did not become in fruition. But I do, what I did love is that Kevin Owens at this moment, this current era, he's done. His booking list is already done for me. He had his dream match with his idol that he grew up with. And
Cold Steen. Danhausen.
What? But he grew up idolizing Stone Cold, and he finally got him out of retirement to wrestle and main event in a Mania. So KO, his wishes came true. He main evented at a Mania against Stone Cold Steve Austin. So congratulations to Kevin Owens on what a successful run and currently still going. So that's my number 4 for KO. My number 3 is my shock the world on this one. I think it will. But the only reason why I put this guy at number 3 because of what right now, whether you like it or not, people are hating him, but he is the greatest heel of all time, and he has done a fantastic job running with it. He's Mr. Yes Man because he does say yes to everything, and that's going to be Baron Corbin. I have to put care of Baron Corbin.
Awesome king.
This is why. Because him transitioning from the Lone Wolf in NXT, brief run, I know it wasn't, you know, the best. But, man, his finisher is one of the tops, in my opinion, sensational moves that I ever seen at this current era.
Baron Corbin is definitely my favorite finisher, worst wrestler of all time.
Yes, he's worse, but one thing is, why? Because he's best right now. The reason, because him coming in, transitioning to Happy Corbin right now, it annoys people. But guess what? That's what you're supposed to do as a heel. You're supposed to get under people's skin, get them under your skin. Of course, he hasn't had a title run, the main title, but he has been like in semi-main events, part of main events. He's always been around the main event attraction.
He's very reliable.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
I mean, I don't not like
Corbin. Reliable.
I know. Yeah, I know that people are going to get hated. Like, what? I'm pretty sure everybody's like, when they're watching this,
What's
up with that?
I like Corbin for a lot of reasons. I just can't make a case to put him on my list. That's all. You're doing a good job, obviously.
I'm
agreeing with everything you're saying, so you're good there. So I'm here. Yeah. I'm here for you.
So you know that's how I feel about Baron Corbin, and he's doing he's done a fantastic job, and still doing it. You know, so kudos for him.
With whatever character they give him, he puts in 110%.
Yes,
like I enjoyed. Was he Happy Corbin when he was like the homeless guy and he couldn't get into the arena?
No, he was Sad Corbin.
Dad Corbin, yeah. So he runs with it. Like, he puts in 1,000% of what is needed for every version of himself. And I absolutely appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And I do. And I appreciate that a lot. And I'm happy for him that, you know, his run. And think about it. Out of the class that he was in, the majority are gone. He is like the only one of his class of that little recruits and that were the call-ups in the main roster. So I'm happy for him that he is having a successful run in WWE in the main roster. Just regardless of where he's put at, how you mentioned, he is reliable and he will take that character and develop it 110%. That's right. No one, I'm not talking about this guy.
Three and a third chance of winning. But I got a 66 and two-third chance of winning.
No, none of that. None of that's got none of that.
That's hilarious.
All right. My number two, because this is not only singles. This could be a faction as well. And that's why my number two is, of course, the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family was a successful run in WWE. It was. Because,
Sister Abigail.
So, you know, you bring in something unique. When they first began this, you know, never thought that, you know, all you was thinking, oh, man, they're a bunch of Duck Dynasty freaking, you know, gimmicks. That's the first thing that
will I started watching the Wyatt family about that time, too, and I kind of got those vibes.
Yeah, exactly, right? You got those vibes. Because think about it. You got nothing but one bald-headed guy with long beard, two long-haired guys with long beards. With beards, like, man, this is some Duck Dynasty. What the hell is going on? You know?
when I found out that Bray Wyatt's original character was based on Max Caddy from Cape Fear, I still didn't. I'm like, oh, they both wear like Hawaiian shirts. Is that the only connection? I didn't really pick up on the connection between those two characters.
Agreed. Yeah, me neither. Like, I did in the beginning, but didn't make
like maybe the accent because you know the original quote of come out wherever you are. Yeah. That was. I mean, that's a little Bray Wyatt-y, but like that was the extent of it for me. I didn't pick up the rest of the connection.
Yeah, I was like, "Where's Uncle Si? Where's Uncle Si?" But other than that, I mean, it worked. It especially taking it to the main roster, we had something new, especially with them. An entity that is a mixture of like Children of the Corn type of style with the Ministry of the Undertaker type of, you know, gimmick in a way, very dark and very eerie, you know, very scary. Like, oh shit, what the fuck? And I know that everybody had it in the beginning was like, huh? Like, what is supposed to be the Halloween scary stuff I'm supposed to be scared about? But I like what Bray did with the whole, how he developed that character and created it so different for himself. Besides, rest in peace, Brody Lee, and you know, and of course, Rowan. But they did, them too. When they separated, they did an incredible job as well. The Bludgeon Brothers, that was great. I wish, you know, even Brody said it before he passed. Like that was one of the they took that kid that gimmick that Vince gave him and developed it very well. And it could have gone more further, but you know, unfortunately, shit happens. You know, Eric gets hurt or Brody gets hurt. So it's kind of difficult. One man gets hurt, so the other man is out for a while. So it sucks. Even when Brody had his own singles run, the Intercontinental title for him, I was really happy that he won that. I wish he would have been given more of a run with it longer. His best match with Dolph was, you know, for that was like one of my favorites with him that he had, feuding with Dolph Ziggler for that IC belt. Bray, on the other hand, how he began his top feud with Cena at WrestleMania, having all those children out there, he's, you know, singing, you know, what was that song we were singing? Is it a Small World? Or no, not a Small World. what was the song they were singing? Shit.
Wait.
Who is it?
Kumbaya?
No. We got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole
Rocket world. That's from Con Air.
Yeah,
version. So there's a throwback for you.
Throwback right there. And I enjoyed it. Everything that character, that group, what they did, they ran with it in the day of something new. Not only that, but seeing Kane putting him over at SummerSlam. I witnessed that when he faced Bray Wyatt. I was there at SummerSlam when it was here in California for that. I witnessed that when they had their, it wasn't called an Inferno. I forgot the hell what it was called. It was called something else. But we all knew it was an Inferno match. And then the
swap match or some shit, I forget.
Oh, and that too, the swap match with the New Day. That was another one. Good. It was another great one too. And then adding Braun Strowman to the picture too. That was another great one too. And it helped Braun Strowman be where he's at today. You know, and that's why I give the Wyatt family a lot of credentials of how they took that gimmick and ran with it and created new stars within themselves individually or as a tag team. For Strowman, for Bray, and for Brody Lee as either individual or a tag team with Rowan. So I'm really happy that it turned out to be one of the best call-ups for me, and that's why it's my number two. Well, of course, my number one, we already know.
Drum roll.
We already know.
I could pull out my drum set right here. I got little drum pads, but.
Oh, shit. Of course, we know the number one. Everybody should know the number one. It's obvious because these three individuals. Echo, Delta, Shield, Bam. And I'm going with all these three because all of them came in. And we were like, who the fuck are these guys? I heard of Moxley and Rollins. Never knew about Roman.
Do you work for CM Punk? Nope.
And, you know, they did an incredible job then. Like, in the beginning was, you know, working with a CM Punk, how you mentioned, Matt. And then from later on, they actually became one of the most hated factions, trios that I ever seen. I even hated them because they will come and interfere in every fucking match, and it got annoyed as fuck. But they did. That's the job. That's what you're supposed to do, is get under your skin, get the crowd going. So the Shield, hands down for them, they did incredible. Even for them at Mania, I think that was them versus who was it? Who did the Shield face at Mania? I forgot. Was it against?
Hold on.
I'm trying to remember. Was Sheamus?
They didn't even have a match, did they? They
really did, right?
They debuted at Survivor Series. What was their WrestleMania debut? Oh, God. Keep talking. I'll find it.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out. Yeah. But, and then later on, them feuding with the Wyatt family, I was like, yeah. Oh, when I saw that happening, I was.
Wow. It was a six-man WrestleMania 29. That sounded about right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it Sheamus?
I'm still looking. Keep talking. So, don't want any dead silence.
Even them against the weight, the Wyatt family was great.
Yeah, Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show.
There you go. I knew it. Yes. I knew I forgot something. Yes. But I was happy for them. They had their moment at Mania. And then towards the end, of course, there's always a plan B. And of course, wham, baby. And then Jesus, I'm like, what? What just happened? And of course, we see the heel turn from Seth Rollins. And from there, it all became a fruition for all three of them.
Yeah.
Because from there, they all went into their individual careers. And look where they're at now. Three former world champions in WWE. Current
double champ.
And one is a double champ right now.
One of them is winning shit, which is crazy. That's a wasp in my house, I think. I don't know what this is, but I'm gonna open my window.
All right. But yes, I enjoyed their, I'm happy for their individual career runs. Rollins been
amazing. You're gonna see me dancing a little off screen. Keep talking.
I know. And of course, Moxley, of course, as well. I loved his run, even though his run was stint in WWE.
That is a beautiful Big B.
I enjoyed it, but I wish he could have had a longer run with the WWE title, but it's fine. And then
I kind of wish we had the Moxley like a reaction, the Moxley clip of him just saying nope, just nope. I love.
No, I ain't doing that shit.
There you go. There you go. I ain't doing that shit. So, hands down to Moxley, where he took his career. He took his ball and went somewhere else and became something that we all love to this day. We loved him in WWE as Dean Ambrose because that was just the beginning of what we're seeing now currently. And Rollins, how he developed his, you know,
dirty deeds.
Dirty deeds. And then his, and then Rollins, how he developed his character, becoming where he's at right now. And Roman, too, because, okay, Roman, and I know you're going to be watching this, Devin, or be listening. I already know. But Roman, I was not in favor for because, and I'm going to say why, because Vince McMahon always wants to, you know, shove him down through our throats. And, you know, of course, he wants to go ahead and wants to make movies with Roman Reigns. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like this guy, stop putting him in every main event. He's not ready. Or turn him a heel already by now. But I'm glad that this right now, his run currently right now is the most fantastic and the most popular one right now in WWE. So in a way, it makes sense why Vince McMahon took forever to turn Roman as a fucking heel. So because if he would have turned him a heel years before, he would have probably got boring by now. Could be that case. But I'm glad that he's doing something with it, and I'm happy for Roman where he's at right now. And well-deserved his new contract, less fucking, you know, tour dates, less events. You well-deserve. You deserve it. You paid your dues, Roman, and you are the tribal chief for that reason. And I will acknowledge you, okay? So there you go, Devin. You happy? I acknowledge your tribal chief, all right? Not you. You're a tribal chief, okay? Because he is the real tribal chief, not Devin, the tribal chief of podcasting. No. No.
Suckatash. Sucker and succotash.
Oh, man. But that leads to my top five. Do I have an honorable mention?
You're allowed. I have one.
I'll add one. And I think this one is going to be a tough one. I'm trying to think of who. Call up that has been great right now. It's, you know what? As of right now, as a matter of fact, there really isn't. Yeah, I'm gonna have to back down on this one. I don't think there is for me right now.
No worries.
Because I'm gonna say that for the next one, for the worst ones. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna add them anyways. Fuck it. I feel like they did a great job with them, and but it sucks that. The only thing that sucks is they kind of stopped it. I wasn't gonna add him to my worst one, but fuck it, I'll add him on. I'll put his name right now. You'll know who I'm talking about. Of course.
You know what I'm talking about.
Nakamura. I'm gonna have to add him. I'll add him. Because when he came in, Jesus, man. The whole world, and we all knew who he was. And I know that Matt was starting to watch NXT. And then when he heard about Nakamura, I mean, I'm pretty sure.
My God! Okay, it's happening.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were, Matt. I know you were. And
I'm not here. There's no shame. It's me.
Yeah, it's Nakamura. It's me, Nakamura. But I loved his match with Sammy. Match of the year for that.
We spoke the language only they understand.
Mm-hmm.
But as Sammy soon says.
And his feud was even with Kevin Owens and his match with Balor on NXT programming when he went to the main roster. Nakamura right now, the only thing he's fucking missing is winning the world title. Mm-hmm. And he become a Grand Slam champion. He's already a former Intercontinental, a former U.S. champion. Wait, has he won a tag team? He has won a tag team before.
He had that with the... Fuck, you just had it.
Oh, with Cesaro. Cesaro.
Yeah, was that it?
Yeah, not with the other guy, because he got hurt, remember? He got hurt at Mania, so they didn't win it.
Claudio.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he went with Claudio, with Cesaro. So all he's missing is the either the Universal or the WWE title. and he could be a Grand Slam champion. That's all he's missing. But Nakamura has paid his dues, and he's still paying his due, unfortunately, even though they're not using him. I don't know why. Fucking Vince McMahon. I don't know why. They should. Jesus Christ. Why? Because he doesn't have...
aggression.
Is that what it is? Because he doesn't have that, or what the fuck? But still, Nakamura, hands down, great call-ups, because he has put great phenomenal matches, AJ, even though Mania wasn't the best. But still, you won the Rumble, you went to Mania, you co-main evented. Good for Nakamura. His dreams came true, but not really fully, because he never won the belt. So it is unfortunate. So there you go. I think I only won honorable preferred. So I have for you guys. That's my list.
Type five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now it's time to go back to the wheel.
Oh, man. Who could it be? The odds are just terrible, terrible in our favor.
Yes. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, the director himself. Goes El Director. El Director.
Connection.
Oh, yeah. The connection. That's right.
All right. So, my list. The greatest top five NXT to main roster call-ups. I had to follow a system to keep the list down to five. And it's a pretty good system. It's based on impactful debuts and careers following longevity and title runs, charisma, quality of wrestling, ups and downs of the career. So I think my list is pretty legit when it comes to successful NXT call-ups. Number five on my list, she went from virtually nobody, almost a joke that no one took seriously, to one of the greatest female wrestlers, the most charismatic female wrestler. Awesome in the ring. Makes no sense how good she is. She was virtually nobody in NXT. She had a terrible opening gimmick to becoming a cheerleader to now becoming one of the most polarizing figures in all of pro wrestling. She went from Sparkle Splash to Twisted Bliss, and that's Miss Alexa Bliss. She debuted in NXT with a farm girl gimmick, which is as generic as it gets. She would have been right at home with the Godwins in 1996, to becoming the cheerleader for Matthews and Murphy. I think that's what their names were. She didn't really wrestle much. She wasn't known for her in-ring prowess down at NXT, in my opinion, but she debuted on the main roster as, I believe, a heel, I think. And she is so good at that character. She's awesome in the ring. Obviously, she's keeping with the Twisted Bliss character that Bray Wyatt bestowed upon her, I think, right? Is she still doing that?
You know what? Right now, no. She did.
She went back to normal Bliss?
Halfway there.
Either way, that version of her is amazing. She's held multiple championships, which means she has staying power. The crowd loves to hate her, and they hate to love her. Either way, she is a staple of the women's division, and that was a highly successful call-up, considering she went from nobody to number one in the world.
Damn, I forgot about
it. It does get better than that, but it only gets better than that four more times. Number four. Was great in NXT. Has some of the. If you were to talk about a top 10 pro wrestling matches in NXT of all time, she is probably going to be in three of them. And that is the legit boss, Sasha Banks. She had some great takeover, highlight reel matches against Bayley and against Charlotte Flair. Her takeovers, I think she was a part of the first Iron Woman match. She's beaten Charlotte multiple times down in NXT, but now that she's on the main roster, she can speak on the mic, a little awkward sometimes, but she's good on the mic. She's stylish. She's been around every single day that she's been up there and multiple world championships.
That's a bank statement right there. Bank
it statement. Is, absolutely. And she's great in the ring, but not only is she great in the
bank
ring.
Bank on that.
She's great at making her opponent look good. Sasha Banks is one of the best bump takers in the business. When she's fighting. I mean, everyone's bigger than her. Literally, she's like 5'5", 80 pounds, and she takes a beating from everybody and makes them look good doing it and still picks up wins. Huge pioneer of women's wrestling and just pro wrestling in general. Number three, everything I said about Sasha Banks can be said about the little last kicker, the man.
Right there.
Oh, la mera.
Went from virtually nobody doing the rounds with Finn Balor, being trained in the dojo in Japan, making her way across Europe, landing in NXT with the worst gimmick since Alexa Bliss. The River Dancer was the character, I guess.
Irish. The Irish.
Baton.
Yeah, something like that.
Basically, she was the Finley's character.
She was Lucky Charms.
Yeah,
she
horrible. Was, she horrible.
Was lucky she got out of that gimmick, let me tell you what. But after that, she became part of the Four Horsewomen, an absolute beast in the ring, moving up to the main roster. She was doing well, but she wasn't quite over yet. Unfortunately, it took the botch from Nia Jax to put her over the top with the man gimmick, which made her as iconic as possible. Great multiple world champion. Beat Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 30-something or other, 6, I think it was. Just an icon of the sport and one of the GOATs of all time. Definitely, definitely a great call-up.
This is such good shit.
Yes, it is.
Number three, and I do hate to...
Oh, you mean...
Number two, you mean?
I'm on number... I'm on number two already?
Yeah.
Alexa, I have a big list. Oh no, then I have two honorable mentions. Shit. Oh my god. All right, I have one honorable mention.
Oh, that's fine. Go for it.
All right. I'll do my number two. Number two will stay. A career cut too short, and hopefully this wrestler returns, because I think that they, and I hate to call it women's wrestling because we need to separate the gender stigma that there's just. You know, you separate. They're still doing that. It's fine. But no other NXT superstar won a major world title and started the revolution in their main roster debut than Paige. Paige is my number two and doesn't get mentioned in the greatest female wrestler conversation enough. She literally started the revolution, in my opinion. There was AJ Lee who she beat for that title. But so many girls looked up to Paige at the time. You know, she had the whole Hot Topic gimmick, which is not a gimmick. That's who she is. She's great in the ring, good on the mic. She's really good at being a heel. She's great at being a face.
She's the only one who's had a movie made about her, though. Like that whole the Fighting With My Family movie was a big deal. You know,
yeah.
even people who didn't watch wrestling watched that movie.
Yeah, because it was on in theaters. It was like limited
worldwide. Everybody saw it.
And Leo told me that I love it.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
And I think what Paige did with that win brought eyes to NXT. It brought eyes to the women's division as actual wrestlers, not just divas. And that is the reason why she is my number two.
That makes sense. I agree 100%. You're right. It just sucks that her career has been short.
Yeah. And I mean, I hear rumors that she could be back. I know she came back with I forget what they were called.
When it was her swinging the veil and Mandy Rose when there were
redemption or reclusion or
absolution,
something.
Absolution.
That's what it was.
Absolution, yeah. Right?
But it was a managerial position, but rumors that she could ring return, which I'm still holding out for because it's happened before.
If Edge could come back, if Danielson
could
come back,
yeah.
Nakajima can come back. Yeah.
Shibata can come back.
Shibata, that's what I meant. Yeah. If Shibata can come back.
But if she does come back, rumor your windows, she's going to be the fourth member of the Judgment Day. And we're going to see this.
Oh, son of a bitch. What? It's me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
She's going to be the higher power for the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Under the hood. Paige here.
And Paige was, I think, one of the original call-ups. She was within the first top five, and I think the first female to be called up. It was early days.
You're right.
She pioneered so many things, and I think that number two is a great spot. Because number one, regional NXT champion. He's gone on to win every title. I think he's got a Grand Slam championship. I don't know if he has the IC title, actually, but he's held every single other title, and that is Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins, who has done it all in every capacity. He has been a heel, a face, a tag champion, a world champion. He's headlined WrestleMania. He's won and lost WrestleMania. He's beaten Triple H, which everybody does at WrestleMania.
Wrestled Sting. My God.
Yeah. The guy is great on the mic. He's easy to love, easy to hate. He is just fantastic everywhere. He's got a pretty decent moveset. He's great in the ring. Always looking to improve. He came back from that knee injury within like 6 months and or less, and he was supposed to be out for like 3 years or some shit. I still can see that knee break off the table in my mind without even having to look it up, and don't, because it's pretty gross.
Somebody doesn't like that pig.
No.
<That's kidding. laughs> Colby Lopez.
Yeah. You know, it took the Shield to break up to, obviously, you said, project those three wrestlers' careers. But the man holding that chair was Seth Rollins, and he was the first launched into the stratosphere, making him the most successful NXT call-up of all time. I now officially do have two honorable mentions, and I'll make it quick. My first honorable mention is Kevin Owens. I don't know why he says it like that, but that's how it's said. Took him a long time to get a heavyweight title, and it took him even less time to lose it. Again, another guy who's easy to love, easy to hate. He's good on the mic, whether he's a heel or a face. He can work his ass off in the ring. I wouldn't say charismatic, but he definitely shoots on the mic.
That's a debate right there, because that's a debate. That's a fucking.
You don't think he speaks his mind on the microphone?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, when I say charismatic, I mean he doesn't have like a gimmick. He's not like The Rock. He's not like, he doesn't have a lot of catchphrases. He just, even when he does talk, he's very calm and quiet about it. Especially NXT Kevin Owens, who, when he was like a bully heel, he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to come out there, beat you up. He was like, hey, so I'm going to go in that ring. I'm going to dismember you piece by piece. And it's going to look bad.
Maybe that is.
That's what I like.
Maybe that is the gimmick, Chris, because remember, one of the greatest heels of all time, Bockwinkel. That's like a Nick Bockwinkel thing where you're calm. Right.
But that's what I like about his character, is that it's very shoot-like. It's not Ultimate Warrior, who is the exact opposite of
Kevin. Yeah. Or like,
insatiable appetite for life, and I want more.
Yeah.
That's too much right there, though.
But fight Owens fight, yeah, fantastic. A great call-up. He deserves to be on the main roster. I wish he would finish his tattoo, because his sleeve looks weird when it's just...
I'm with you. Yes, I wish he could finish it.
I get it. It's all in pieces. Just get it all done at once, like Randy Orton, who got like double sleeves overnight, like I did.
Hell yeah.
And my second, to be honest, honorable mention. I don't know why I said that. He should be on the list. If it was a top, if I could have two number ones, it would definitely be Finn Balor, who is the first Universal Champion of all time, which is a wildly successful thing to do for an NXT call-up. Not a lot of people heard of him when he was the Demon. Not a lot of heard of him before he was the Demon as Fergal Devitt or Prince Demon or whatever other characters he was over in Japan. But he definitely made a name for himself from the Golden Black brand. And then when he debuted, it was a huge deal. Lost his title the day after he won it, which was unfortunate, and took him like 4 years. Took him 4 years or something to regain it. And he's kind of never really, I think, maintained that momentum that he had. I know he went back down to NXT and even went over to NXT UK for a while. But the dude's fantastic everywhere. I can never imagine him being a heel. I don't know what this current incarnation of Bullet Club is. Get Liv Morgan out of there. But
we're going to have you
take me to the son of a bitch. Take me to him. Come on. Go.
I love Liv Morgan, but I never want to see her. It's starting to get like when they threw anybody in NWO. They're like, who should we get in NWO? I don't know, Horace Hogan and
Goldust was in NWO. Like, he drew it on his face, and like he looks like an Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyways, but yeah, Finn Balor absolutely deserves to be on the list. You can put him as tied at number one if you want to. I don't care. But guys, the guy's wildly awesome. Doesn't really talk on the mic, but I don't think he's kind of one of those guys that need to. So that's where I think Seth beats him. Seth is good everywhere.
No. I'm not disagreeing that.
No, I know you're not because I'm awesome.
The yes, you are. But the thing is,
you don't like Finn on the list, or
no? The only thing, my dispute about it was that Vince, and I love the fact that Vince. I mean, Finn did call out Vince on that his feud with Austin Theory just very brief to happen like a month ago. He did tell him, "Oh, you never saw anything in me." He told that shit in front of Vince, and I'm seeing Finn's eyes telling that to Vince. I can tell that Finn is like, "Yeah, motherfucker, it's the truth. You never saw nothing in me." Right after that, you dropped the baby. You never gave me my rematch for it, and we never saw him get in the main event picture ever.
Ever. Still, day. I mean, he came back and he won it. When he did eventually come back to win it, but he didn't have it for very, very long.
He never won it. He went back to NXT, reinvented himself.
Right, with the 1917 or whatever.
Yep, with the 1917.
Which I like that version of Balor. I mean, I do like the demon, but like the just straight up like
Prince.
The Prince, yeah, the Japanese strong style thing is definitely supreme. One time, yeah, he came back. Yeah, I guess you are correct, but yeah.
And that's the problem.
And then he had to come back up because he didn't want to have anything to do with the Lisa Frank brand.
No, because look, I've been saying it. Hunter knew this was going to happen. They were gonna go ahead and rebrand the whole fucking show.
Yeah,
and I think that's what caused him. I guarantee you, Triple H was texting all of his main people. Look, guys, let's go to the main roster. This is about to go down. I'm just finished having a stroke, you could say. Just I'm not gonna be working, so get your ass up there. That's why Finn went back up, and you know him reinventing himself on NXT and going back, taking the same gimmick. I was hoping for that. Then what are you doing now with him? It's like what? And I do like one thing though. I gotta lie, I do like the AJ tag team, the club. Fine, two OG leaders. That's the case. Have them go for the tag team titles. They can make those tag team titles relevant. They need to do it. Damn it, Vince!
Give me what I want.
That's right. Just give me what I want. Just put the club. You know, those tag team titles. Let them run it. Fuck the Usos. I'm sorry. I know the Usos won their. They became the unified tag team champions now. The undisputed, excuse me, undisputed tag team champions. But all right, I'm done digressing. And of course, it's time to let this man to best for last, because today he will be giving these individuals, especially them, a lecture of his top fives, because he is better than us, because he is.
Just like Bill Watts, Eddie Graham, Vince McMahon, and Vern Gagne.
And because he likes to
will
over and over
make
over and over
history.
And that's what he likes to do, right? Well, you got to make history with your top five?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can do it.
It's simple this week. I don't think I got the two extras because, you know, I think there's more than enough flavor in this alone. There's food of the week.
We got to make a food of the week.
It's more than enough concentration. It's very satiated. So, you know, everybody I'd say is on this list, despite me listing it like this. I could make any one of these people number one. But, you know, I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off with the opening kick in the game, the field goal kick right here. So, Samoa Joe, my number five. You know, he was part of that. I think some of the first times I watched NXT was the Samoa Joe Finn Balor series. You know, it was like Finn Balor showing up at the airport, and then Samoa Joe showing up at the airport in London, and he's wearing a newsboy cap that I would wear. I'm like, man, this guy's got style. I gotta watch. You know, I've seen him on TNA like in the past, but I didn't catch enough of his matches. I'm happy he's still around. So, you know, Samoa Joe was definitely part of it, you know, and I kind of wish he was like very dominant in the world title division and the world title picture. But I mean, I didn't get that. But, you know, I'm getting him in another promotion today where I get to see him, you know, make his music the way he wants to make it, you know. So that's one of the best parts of it. Number four, you know, you guys, for those who don't know, the number four is equivalent to the number 13 in Japan. There's no fourth floor in a lot of buildings.
I didn't know that, actually. Thank you.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, a lot of buildings in Japan, there's no fourth floor because they believe the number four equals death. It's the number of death and bad luck, you know, is what they believe.
Tell me why, for some odd reason, I thought number three was the one for them that it was death.
I think because it's a multiple of six.
Exactly. So that's why I said number three.
But number four, that's why like the original grudge was 4-4-4-4-4. But what this has to do with my fourth pick, it is a wrestler from Japan. And, you know, she is known for being very fierce and dangerous and from her days in Stardom. And I'll give you that's Kairi Sane, formerly known as Kairi Hojo. You know, the gene... the pirate herself. So and I remember, you know, I caught her match against Shayna Baszler, and I kind of liked the whole underdog and dangerous person. I liked the way, like, how good they made her look there, you know, in her previous history. And then once again, you know, now she's no longer Kairi Hojo, and she's no longer Kairi Sane. You could see her over in Stardom as just Kairi, you know. Just now it's just Kairi, just like it's just Cody, or it's just, you know, well, in the past it was just Cody, but, you know, Tiffany and Cher, you know, those one name people, you know, like, Prince. You know who it is. Yeah. The Prince, you know, artist formerly known as Kairi Sane.
I like Kairi Sane, the genius of the skies.
Yeah. The Sky Pirates with her and Io Shirai.
Yeah, another victim to Nia Jax, I believe.
Mm. Oh, okay.
She's back though. Kairi Sane's doing good now. She's
I think only her biggest issue with her not renewing her contract, but she knew lockdown was coming and she didn't want to be stuck in America.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the opposite of what happened to Pac, where he did get locked in the UK, where she wanted to get out before she did get locked in America.
I mean, the UK is Pac's home, but I don't know how much roots he has over here compared.
Well, this is when AEW first was taken off. So remember that whole big stint where he was absolutely trapped in UK while his NXT career, he wanted to be AEW. Okay, he wanted to be American.
Yeah. So my number three, we're going to go with Asuka. Asuka is my number three.
Didn't even think about it. Thank you.
That's kind of why Asuka, you know, I think she's really what brought me back to wrestling overall. Because I think I really stopped watching in 2003, 2004. I didn't keep up. I didn't catch barely any of the Ruthless Aggression era. I didn't catch any of the Ruthless Aggression era. I didn't catch any of the, you know, I think once like Brock Lesnar turned babyface, I kind of wasn't really on board with that, and the Triple H Reign of Terror, like, and then and then I got caught with some of the Jeff Jarrett Reign of Terror over in but overall, I kind of had a bad taste for wrestling, and then I saw a post about Asuka go up, and I've never seen anybody like her in wrestling before, you know, and I only just discovered Joshi wrestling because of her. I watched on YouTube her match with Tajiri with the glasses, and I thought that match was really cool. So I caught a lot of her matches. I caught like the Ember Moon, was it Peyton, I think, like I caught a lot of her matches. I caught her undefeated streak, the first run. I never saw her first loss to Charlotte when Charlotte ended it, but I caught a majority of her run, you know. I saw the Mickie James match too, and she defeated Mickie James, like, yeah, so many people. Like, it's like they ran out of people to throw against her at some point, that they had to start bringing in people from the past. So, you know, it's like you Pentagon right here.
Yeah, that was Pentagon. Cero Miedo right there. Right, Cero Miedo.
My number two, you know, I think it was like after Asuka, this was the other wrestler that that I really got into around that time period. And like, I didn't know anything about him when I first discovered it, first started watching NXT. I didn't know anything about him, and I had to look back into the past. So that would be
Finn Balor.
You know, Fergalicious.
God damn it.
Yeah,
Fergalicious.
Definition, make them boys go loco. They want the treasures of the NXT title. So they go to that golden black logo.
Oh man,
Fergalicious, his body stays vicious. He's be up in the gym just working on his fitness, you know. Fergalicious.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's why he's number two, you know. I'm thinking about that clip is like when he walks by Dean Ambrose and it's like, gosh, eat a carb, and he's looking at his six pack and he eats the donut.
Why is Pentagon right next to me? I didn't even realize
that. Pentagon wants to challenge Finn Balor, but you know that forbidden door hasn't opened yet. That's a match that wants to happen.
Hey, wait until his contract's up, then he could probably go.
Yeah, he's what I'm hoping for. All right, you guys ready for number one?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember the song. It's the number one stunners. What? Number one stunners. What? You know, number one stunners. It was like that song was all over the place in sixth grade. Number one stunners.
There you go. I'm kidding.
I forgot who it was. This one rapper. I was really into it. It's
not my
job. You got a Lamborghini with the doors up.
That's all of them. Now they really
donuts in the video. We the number one stunners. What? So number one, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ah, why am I not surprised that it was Nakamura, right?
Yeah, it's like I gotta give it credit towards you. And I actually didn't know anything about his New Japan run back when I first saw him on NXT. I thought it was really cool. I think he was probably like the third wrestler from NXT I watched. Cause like the main thing is I wasn't watching any main roster at that time, you know. I think because it kind of went in this order. It was like Asuka, Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor, and then Shinsuke Nakamura. Those were like the, and I didn't really catch them on the NXT program itself. I watched these matches on YouTube, so it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really directly. I wasn't even watching NXT directly. I only heard things about NXT is like, oh, it's way better than Raw and SmackDown. You should watch it, Matt. I'm like, okay, I'll take your word on it. I'll check it out for myself. And you know, I got acquainted with it. I saw the cool stuff Nakamura does. I thought they were saying the king of good style or something like that. Like he's got style. Like was he like a model in Japan? Like. I didn't know he was a wrestler.
Yeah,
so.
He definitely was a wrestler. I don't know about his. I know he's an MMA fighter for sure. I know he has a record of like 5-1 in MMA.
MMA background. But I think the use of the word style kind of made, and like his stylish hair and his outfit, I kind of was thinking, was like, man, is he a fashion designer? Like,
I think he's loosely based on Michael Jackson for sure.
Yeah.
At least his mannerisms are. Yeah.
Yeah,
one thing I want to give WWE credit though, and the credit is that. At least in NXT especially, they explain the origins from these individuals come from.
They show up in New Japan there.
Yes, Nakamura, Kairi Sane, Asuka, Finn Balor as well. You know, Kevin Owens a little bit, not too much. Sammy, a little bit too, not too much. Pac, you know, Tyler Black at the time. So I give Paul Levesque, the most credit of all time for him to expose that. And I wish AEW could do that right now. I wish they could do that with all the talent that they bring in. give a little story, you know? So
Samoa Joe was so dominant in the TNA Impact world. I remember at one time he was holding multiple titles. He was just dominating that show.
That was when he was in Brazil. Yeah,
Samoa Joe has probably held every title in every company he's ever been in.
Yes. Except for New Japan. He hasn't gone there yet.
Yeah.
That's why I said that he's been in.
And I'm hoping that's a small yet. That way it could be like, if I see him in the G1 in a few months, announced for the G1, I'm going to be a happy man. I'm going to catch every single one of the matches and analyze them. And which just reminds me, best of the Super Juniors tonight, Ace Austin versus Hiromu Takahashi. For those of you out there watching, catch it.
Oh, yeah, they'll be watching this part of the day after when they've a refresher for them, because this will be, of course, Sunday, since we're back on a Sunday. But let me ask you guys both this. We forgot to add one female in this on this top five.
I will tell you why.
And me too. I think if you're going to preach it, I'd rather have you preach it.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you right this. She didn't need NXT. She was destined for glory no matter what.
Glorious!
They put her in NXT maybe just to make sure, but she was destined. It's in her genes. She's a style and profile in limousine riding, woo. Andrade Almas riding.
Whoa.
Woo! She could have gone right to the main roster and would have been just fine. We're talking about Charlotte, right?
Yes.
Style okay. and profiling. Okay.
I kept it off my list, even though I'm down there writing. Jesus.
Imagine if you meant Roosh. Oh my God.
I was hoping you were going with Charlotte. I was going to, these are my thoughts that I already have prepared, anyways, but I don't think she needed NXT. NXT needed her.
Okay.
That's why she wasn't on my list. She could have gone right to the main roster and no one would have been surprised. I don't think she would have been a failure.
I don't think so, to be honest with you. When I first saw her in the ring, she was not, to be honest. When she first began, she really wasn't like that. She did a great job.
Wasn't that good in the ring?
No, she did a good job. Like her debut, she did a great job. She did a fantastic job. But was it? I mean, I feel the same way how you feel. I think the NXT for her was. Her character development, I would say more than her in-ring skills, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I don't think, like the other wrestlers on our list, she was an unknown who made something of herself. I think if she showed up, obviously you hear the name Flair. She didn't even show up as Charlotte Flair. I think she just showed up as Charlotte. And she still kind of is just Charlotte, but we all knew who she was before she was even wrestling. And so when she debuted anywhere, we would have been like, oh, that's Ric Flair's kid, and she's going to be awesome. And we would have been right anywhere she showed up.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one we didn't bring up on this list either, which I forgot to bring up. I should have added some honor roll, will be Bayley. You got to give Bayley her credit. You got to give it to her.
Yeah, I give Bayley a top 20 credit.
Okay.
She's not good on the mic. She never has.
Inflatable.
Ding dong. Hold up.
That was it. She had Bayley girl. That was it. She had hugs.
She was a female version
of John Cena. Bayley was the most overface in the history of NXT.
John Cena.
What do you guys think of Bill Bayley?
That's why she would be on, if the list was longer, she would be on it.
What do you guys think of heel Bayley? The whole life sucks and then you die.
It's weird. It's fine.
I enjoyed it.
It's forced. It's contrived.
That's more of a Vince McMahon thing because that's his. You know,
I think another way you could say that right now has been a successful one because it's been a while we haven't seen a homegrown talent. Would be Bianca Belair. She has done an incredible job. So
if we do this list next year, she's on it.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. But right now, she's doing a great job.
Yeah, she's killing it. She's on her way to being the GOAT.
Yes, indeed. You were going to say, man, about Vince McMahon. What about Vince?
I was saying that's more of a Vince thing to say, though. Like, I wonder if he was, like, behind that heel turn or not, you know? I mean, it was a nice change of pace. What's up?
Of course he was.
Yeah.
You know him.
I think he didn't want. I don't think he wanted her popularity to get out of his control, which we've seen with Zack Ryder and Emma, Emelina, I guess, whatever the fuck. And you know, he squashes people that become too popular for his own good.
Yeah, because all he did was just added that
with a lethal dose of poison.
Yeah, he added that he's a poison. That's what Vince McMahon does.
And he does it.
Yes, he does. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our top five for today, ladies and gentlemen. You guys are watching or listening on the audio platforms, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Spreaker or Bullhorn, wherever you guys are listening to. We'll be back next week for the Memorial Day weekend. We'll put it out before. I think we might do two, maybe, because you know, I know it's only been what? Next week is... This Wednesday coming up is a 3-year anniversary for Dynamite. We had so far how many Double or Nothing? 3, right? So we had this a 30-year, correct? We could, I know, I know it's been the first 2 years. We could actually do a top 5 Double or Nothing moments along with the worst ones. We could do that.
Probably.
Why not?
There are no top 5 worst moments in NXT or AEW.
No. We're talking about the NXT.
The plan for sure, this came from the idea to do top 5 worst NXT call-ups. And I thought, hey, let's be fair. Let's do a best one first.
Yeah, definitely. And then next week we'll do the top 5 worst ones. And then maybe, we'll do the top 5 best moments of Double or Nothing within the first 2 years. You know, it's still more coming and more coming. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to stay tuned next Thursday. We're live, episode 103. We will be giving our predictions for Double or Nothing, because that's going to be exciting. I cannot wait to hear the director's picks and also, of course, Matt Callis's picks. And, of course, joining us that day will be, again, Mike DeNiro from the Wrestling DeLorean podcast and Heel Liz from ATW podcast. I'm looking forward to speaking to them and giving hearing their 2 cents about it as well. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Whoever you guys are watching this or listening throughout the day or night or midday or Sunday brunch, however you like.
4 a.m.
Yeah. 4 a.m., we beat you to them.
It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you. I was
And, of course, we will see you guys on Thursday. And, of course, this is Director. Make sure you follow Fake Destroyed. Follow them, damn it.
Go to Spotify and YouTube. That's the best places right now. You'll
want
to
see a sexy man on the stage, man, with that oven that he has in there. Yeah, that oven right there. That's right. And because, he is, of course.
Professional wrestling, bigger than Hackenschmidt, bigger than Gotch, bigger than Fez, bigger than Flair, bigger than Hogan. Bigger than Moxley, bigger than
Keep going!
Tonight, but we're gonna run out of air time.
Bigger than Ibushi!
God, I love this! Bigger than Ibushi.
Even Matt.
Keep going!
That's for you, Money Mike. He's not here.
It's for you today, Chris. Keep going.
For you.
Keep going.
Keep going. Keep going.
Bigger than Retribution.
Slap nuts.
Slap nuts
and T-burn.
And T-bone steak on a freeway. Yes, there you have it. Of course, Mr. Matt Callan, Mr. 69 himself as well, because he likes to make history as well. And because we already know he loves to make history. And of course, Leo always says,
I love it.
He loves it. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.